Helping Hands Press presents The Name of the Hawk, Volume 1, Legion, by Murray Pura. No one knows anything about him. Not where he's from or who his mother and father are. Not even the beautiful woman at his side or the community of men and women and monks who have raised him from a child know his real name or what is in his heart and soul. But one fateful day, when he cries out to God and God answers, the darkness sees Hawk for the first time, and it sets out to destroy him before he rises up in the power of God and Christ to fulfill his destiny. Let's listen to a sample from The Name of the Hawk, Volume 1, Legion, by Murray Pura.
I am the man, Mara. I will tell the story. You have not heard it before. I don't care how old you are or where you are from. You have been told there is nothing new under the sun. But this story is. It changed your life. It changed everyone's life, living and dead. It turned our world into another kind of world. But no one knows. They do not know. Before I die, you will have it all in your breath and blood, and then you can do with it what you will. Only you cannot go back and change it. No one can. It began and it ended, and it continues. The beginning was the birth of Galahad. You may have heard that Lancelot, the great knight of the Round Table, thought he lay one night with a woman he loved, Guinevere. But he was tricked by Elaine of Corbanic, a princess and the daughter of King Pelles, and he lay with her instead, for she wore a magic ring that altered her appearance. It was in this manner that Galahad, who was destined to be the greatest and the holiest of knights, was conceived. All this is so. Galahad was born in the castle of King Pelles, Elaine's father. He was given into the care of a great aunt, who was an abbess of a convent. There he was raised. That Galahad was spirited away to a convent is so. That he was destined to be the one who found the Holy Grail, the cup Jesus drank from at the Passover meal, the Last Supper, is also so. But there was another destiny, and there was another child born. For as Elaine writhed and tossed in the pains of childbirth, locked away from everyone else in her bedchamber, the midwife did not tell her that two infant boys emerged from her womb, one after the other, the first fair and lovely, the second dark and loathsome. The dark one she hid away in a basket and covered with a soiled blanket. The child did not cry. The fair one, Galahad, she placed at his mother's breast. The dark one she took from the castle after she had opened the bedchamber to King Pelles and his court, and after he had placed silver coins in her palm. She raised the boy in poverty and obscurity in her hut in the woods. They called her a witch, but she was the farthest thing from a witch, for she spent her days in prayer and fasting and in sewing garments for those with leprosy. She raised the boy in kindness and grace. When he was 8, she felt the leprosy take hold of her, so she traveled north from her native Albion, or what the Romans call Britannia. She made her way past Hadrian's Wall and the Antonine Wall to Alba, which is Caledonia by the Roman tongue, and asked a man to row the boy across to the holy isle of Skirl. The lad never saw the woman he called his mother again. So Galahad was raised in a convent among nuns, and his twin raised at a monastery, which had monks and nuns who never knew marriage, as well as those who did. It is said he grew to have the sweetest voice, and the sweetest visage, and the manliest of frames, so that by the time he was 16, he appeared as a handsome man of 20, with golden locks and fair skin and flashing eyes. In fact, he looked like his brother Galahad, who was already in pursuit of the Holy Grail. But no one knew the story of the boy who had been rowed to Skirl and given into the care of the good monk Hamish. No one had any idea the boy was the son of Sir Lancelot or the brother of Sir Galahad. All they knew now was that he loved to read and to sing and to pray and was steady with a bow and quick with a sword. For these two, the monastics of Skirl, both men and women, married and unmarried, did not frown upon, ran at a good gait, and had the eye of every young maiden among them. On his 18th birthday, he would be honored before the Lord God and the whole community, and take his vows. One would be a vow to Jesus Christ, the other a vow to the people of Skirl, the third a vow that would last but 5 years, but that would transform him completely, the vow of a Nazarene. In addition, there would be a holy task he would have to perform that would take him far from the Holy Isle. Once it was accomplished, once the 5 years had ended, he would be permitted to return. His eyesight was sharp and keen. Where others could see clearly for a mile, he could see for two or three. Sometimes when he ran quickly, it looked to others as if he were flying. When the men jousted with sticks or parried with swords, he was so fierce his opponents feared for their lives. So, with the eyes and the flight and the fight in him, the morning Hamish came to fetch him from the chapel, where the young man had prayed and fasted all night, to take him to where his head would be shaved and his vows made before the people of Skirl. Hamish spoke only one word and called him by only one name, Hawk.
Check out the rest of the story from Helping Hands Press. Other readers have written about it. Wow, what a great story, says KG. J.A.L. writes, come with me back to a time when God and faith were uncommon concepts, when the holy life was intense and the strength of one's authority was a mystery. M.B. writes, the captivating writing style drew me into the story right away. We invite you to check out Helping Hands Press, The Name of the Hawk, Volume 1, Legion, by Murray Pura, narrated by George Taylor of Narration by George. You can find these titles at narrationbygeorge.com and myhelpinghandspress.com.